Everyone knows if you shut your eyes, the bad men will be gone. Now let's all shut our eyes and say the bad men have disappeared into the Seattle spirit.
The city is firmly behind solutions, and I think if they see solutions working, they're going to support us in the solutions.
So Sunday morning, as I was saying, before I sat down with the good book, I was reading the news early in the morning, and I ran across the following headline. This is how the headline read. Elderly Bellevue couple attacked by homeless woman they tried to help, police say. Now, I know that's the headline because I copied the headline and put it into my notes and things I wanted to read later. That was the actual headline. In fact, that was the URL, the website address for the Seattle Times story. The again, elderly Bellevue couple attacked by homeless woman they tried to help, police say. Now, I went and I did my worship. Okay, and it came back, and I started to go through, see if anyone had done any interviews, if Q13 had been out there, if Kyle 7 had been out there. I wanted to see if the couple was okay. Were they going to live? And incidentally, apparently they are going to live. They were both, I think, stabbed. I know the lady was stabbed. I know that she had surgery. I know they're in their 70s and 80s. And, 83-year-old man, 76-year-old woman, assaulted in their home. And then the assailant, according to police, tried to set the place on fire. But subsequent versions of the story changed. They changed it to house guest. Elderly couple attacked by a house guest. Seattle Times. Elderly Bellevue couple attacked by woman staying at their home. Couple was stabbed multiple times. Fires have been set inside the house. Police spokeswoman initially described the woman under arrest as homeless, but later said officers were not sure. At least the Times has added that addendum. I looked at Q13, normally a very good source. We use them a lot on the show. They had house guests. Other sources had house guests. And it was completely obscuring the fact that the police early on had said this woman was a homeless woman. Now, there's a lot of reasons this matters. First, I want to get to this comment from Marine on Facebook. There's very clearly a cover-up. This is why it matters, by the way. Marine calls it out. This is from Safe Seattle on Facebook. There's very clearly a cover-up in progress, as these kinds of details could undermine the effort to place an enormous 150-man-plus day service for low or no-barrier shelters 200 feet from unsecured homes, walking distance to 10-plus schools directly next to Eastgate and directly behind Bellevue College. This incident occurred less than 2 miles from the proposed site. Absolutely. So I would suggest that there are that there's an editorial argument going on in Seattle. Now, I know of people in the media who do not want us to report when someone is when someone's homeless. They don't want that to be in the story unless it's actually about homelessness. So if you're covering homelessness or you're covering the tiny houses, but when a homeless person commits a crime, there's a lot of people, and I know them, I work with some of them in media, who do not want us to say they're homeless. In fact, I have a colleague who suggests it's like racism. It is racism to say that people are homeless. That's incorrect, because we're talking here about behaviors. Further, we're talking about specific policies around how we deal with these people. And the fact is, the media I consider partly to blame for well-meaning couples like this, who decided to take this woman into their home. The Seattle Times original story said the elderly couple stabbed by a house guest in a Bellevue home and apparently taken in their attacker, seeing her struggling and homeless in a park. So these people clearly have great hearts, but they're absolutely painfully naive. But they're also living in an area where our so-called leaders pretend everybody who's homeless just one paycheck away. They just missed a mortgage payment. They have no drug problems. They have no mental illness problems. The fact is, they're riddled with problems. The fact is, the jungles are filled with people who are mentally ill. The fact is, people with out-of-state warrants have come to our area to live in our jungles. One guy tried to rape a woman. Another guy got away with raping a woman. They know they're coming to the right place.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
So when a crime like this occurs, and it's from an apparent street person, or at least a woman who appears to me mentally ill, and the police had said was homeless, and now her neighbors say, this couple's neighbors say that she was living in their garage, that's a pertinent fact. It's a pertinent fact, and it's a warning out to other people. You are not prepared to deal with someone who is a street person and mentally ill. You are not prepared to deal with someone who is mentally ill and a homeless person and a drug addict. In all likelihood, none of us are prepared to deal with that. Now, speaking of games from the media, this weekend as well, there was a shooting down at Redondo. So it was reported as being near Des Moines. I guess that's accurate, but there is an area called Redondo Beach, and this is where this happened. Happened in a park down in Redondo. The way this was reported in the media was that there were two groups of youth who, just two groups, and maybe Mormon missionaries pulling out guns and shooting at Seventh-day Adventists. Now, here's the difference in the stories. The Seattle Times has modified their story. They have brought back the presence of homelessness. Some of the other media entities have done that. Now, why are you the top story? Because there's a difference. We, you and I, tweeted, and normally local stories don't get this much attention on Twitter. This one did. You tweeted out and responded so vociferously to Como, to the Seattle Times, to Q13, that I got to think it became embarrassing for them to continue to do this. Now, you know me. Generally, I think the Times really does do good investigative work. We've had the reporters on. We'll continue to have the reporters on. I would just make one suggestion for the Times. If you make a change to the story, if you disappear the fact that the person was homeless, then you got to tell us you disappeared the fact that the person was homeless. And you got to tell us why. Now, we know in our area, this isn't going to get any better. We know it's not going to get any better because the leaders aren't going to change, or the so-called leaders, not until at least 2019. The King County overdose deaths are on the rise. But I cannot believe this is still a discussion. Brandy Cruz sat down with this guy named Shiloh Jama. He used to be named Shiloh something else. I've met this guy. He's a functional heroin addict. I guarantee, well, there's a 95% chance as he's speaking here, he's stoned because he's on heroin all the time. He's the guy who does the People's Harm Alliance. He's the guy who's already setting up heroin funded by a Shiloh at his group, the People's Harm Reduction Alliance, shooting dens.
People are still not sort of fully aware that prescription opioids can lead to addiction, even if they're prescribed by your healthcare provider. And also, people are not, you know, fully aware of the fact that there are non-opioid medications that can be used to treat a lot of acute pain conditions that are often just as effective as opiates.
Okay, so wrong sound, not Shiloh Jama. Point is this. It is still being debated in our area. People still want to pretend in our area. People still want to contend in our area that official government-funded heroin dens are going to reduce overdoses. It's not going to happen. It didn't happen on East Hastings Street in Vancouver. Overdoses and overdose deaths went up, I think it was 1,400% since they started the government-funded heroin dens. We already have government-subsidized heroin dens. The tiny houses, the tiny village, those are government-funded heroin dens. At least there are some people who are beginning to wake up to the fact that there is just an absence, an absolute vacuum of leadership. I can't believe Danny from the paper. Danny Westneat from the PI has actually called out the Seattle City Council and the people who work within the Seattle City Council for writing an illegal law.
Don't drop that dirt.
Danny from the paper quotes three separate Seattle Supreme Court justices. Yeah, it used to be the Olympia Supreme Court or the Washington State Supreme Court. Now it's the Seattle Supreme Court. It only rules in favor of Seattle. But he quotes three justices who point out that the so-called safe storage law in Seattle is illegal. But the Seattle City Council passed it anyway, because it's not about laws, it's not about protecting, it's about distracting from people like heroin Dan Satterberg.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
And people like Mike O'Brien.
As a city, we have no plan.
That's the full, complete truth. It's simply a distraction measure. new Young Tom Never Bring In the Downbeat Songs heading into the National. That's a bumper right there. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show. Let's check the national news. Something tells me Mitch McConnell might not understand President Trump.
As we speak, the Todd Herman Show is live and local because the power seekers never rest. And political news is breaking as we speak.
Look, we're going to chicken every pot, and American people understand that sometimes that chicken tastes good when you beat on that chicken. Back in the days of Kentucky, we would take the chicken, and just prior to the chicken dying, we beat on it just a little extra bit, and then soak it in some Kentucky whiskey. And don't come to me about bourbon. That's not what American people want. American people want chicken soaked in the whiskey and then beaten. Mitch McConnell decided to clarify things. The president said he's willing to shut the government down to get his wall. Mitch McConnell sprinted to him. Well, Mitch McConnell walked up, was delivered to a microphone. Actually, he walks just fine. You see him walk away from those protesters? Did you see that when they were yelling at him? One of the things about McConnell is, really, I have no love lost for the man. I think he's part of the problem. I think he's so D.C. But I tell you what, he's got skin like a lizard android machine walking past those protesters. And those protesters were not keeping up with him. In any case, the president said he's willing to shut the government down to get the wall. Mitch don't want no wall. That's pretty clear.
Probably. And that's something we do have a disagreement on. And
so Homeland Security won't get funded before the midterms.
Probably not. But most of the government will be covered. And then at the end of the year, if we can't reach an agreement on that, we'll do what's called a continuing resolution for that little portion of the government spending that's left unpassed in individual bills.
So you're not worried about a government shutdown before the midterms?
No, that's not going to happen.
Oh, it's not. I don't advise McConnell to lay down this marker with Trump because I think that the president's did we change that thing where the president has to sign the budget? Is that gone? Did we get rid of that? Hey, can the research team look into that? Oh, right. Oh, the president still has to sign him. That's what I thought. Now, I ain't a smart, learned man, but I'm pretty sure the president has to sign those bills into law, etc. Look, the fact is McConnell with the Chamber of Commerce, he doesn't want the wall. He doesn't want particularly heavy border security. He doesn't want particularly hard looks at people on the border because the chamber wants a whole bunch of labor here. That's what they're after. I worked in D.C. long enough to understand who's butter and who's toast in private and behind the doors. But I want to get into that. Let's stick with the topic at hand. The topic at hand as well is the left going into these midterms. They're freaking people out. I shared with you last week that normal, ordinary Americans in the middle of the country, and in fact, not just in the middle of the country, independents around the country, are starting to look at the Democrats and say, are you okay? Because you might be crazy. You, in fact, you're looking insane. In Philadelphia, the mayor decided to correct all problems with race relations and the border and immigration and all by kicking ICE out of the city. A state rep there, Martina White.
It's truly shocking that the mayor was willing to end a contract that was actually helping to keep our community safe. Federal immigration officials were using this PARS system to access information about people who were previously arrested, who committed a crime other than being here illegally.
Yeah, that's kind of what they do. It's not just the fact that people here are here illegally. ICE, when they're operating in cities like this, are often looking at drug retainers. They're looking at murder retainers. These are illegal immigrants. Therefore, ICE is looking for them. But the subsequent crimes, it can be human trafficking, sex trafficking. And just know that in this city of Seattle, and my understanding is across the state because of Sleepy Jay Inslee, a federal retainer notice will be ignored if it's from ICE. Let me give you two scenarios. A cop pulls someone over. He looks at his computer. the FBI says, hey, will you hold on to that guy for us? They may have no local warrants, but we want to see him. Those cops will hold on to that person. If that same person was wanted by ICE, nope, not holding on to him. Going to let him go, right? Isn't that what we want? And the middle of America is beginning to wake up to this and say, something's really weird with these guys. And it's not polling well. So the push for the wall, I think the president would win this one. I know there's people deeply uncomfortable with a government shutdown. If it's never worth that fight, if there's nothing that's ever worth that fight, then I don't see the purpose in government being that important. Hear me. If it's not so important that we're willing to shut it down to get something done, then why is it important at all? Devin Nunes over the weekend talked about the FBI stalling, turning over the documents. What are they banking on? Why is the FBI playing this game?
There's a stall game going on at DOJ and FBI. They're trying to stall as much as they can, hoping and betting that Republicans would lose the House in the fall.
Exactly. So that's what they want, because they want to shut the whole thing down, refocus 100% on impeachment, right? That's exactly what they're looking for. Now, you know what's happened with these Democrats? They themselves are starting to make themselves crazy. You know that Rand Paul has announced he's going to back Brett Kavanaugh, the president's Supreme Court nominee. Did you also hear that Steve Manchin decided to sit down and have a discussion with him? First Democrat to do that. He comes from a fairly conservative area. So he's decided to sit down and have this conversation with Kavanaugh. But man, all across the world of the Democrats on a national basis, they're starting to play make-believe.
But myself I can't deceive. I know it's only make-believe.
Thank you, Conway Twitty. My dad used to call him a poor man's Elvis, Conway Twitty. Yeah, they're playing make-believe. Steve Rattner, what'd you say about the president's tax cuts?
The tax cut is still incredibly unpopular. Only a minority of Americans support it. And there's a story on the front page of the Times today about how the Republicans are not really even campaigning on it.
Yeah, except they are campaigning on it. And I haven't seen those polls that show it's that unpopular. Dick Blumenthal also playing a game of make-believe.
This questioning of the issue of whether the president's above the law is extremely serious. If his position is the president's above the law, I don't see how any of my colleagues can vote for it.
Yeah, he's talking about Brett Kavanaugh. Because remember when Kavanaugh came out and said, yeah, the president's above the law? No, he never said that. What he said is the president shouldn't be distracted with private lawsuits while he's in office. They should be deferred until after office, which is a prevailing view of a lot of justices. They're getting that desperate that they're playing make-believe. I got to hear some more Conway Twitty. Let's go out with this. Conway?
But myself, I can't.
Poor man's Elvis.
Can't deceive.
Now?
I know it's only make-believe.
Take it away, young Tom. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. The text line is open, 800-465-8770. Speaking of said text line, we talked at the top of the hour about how you, in my judgment, you helped avert a complete media cover-up of the fact that this couple in Bellevue who was stabbed and then the assailant tried to burn their house down, that she is apparently a homeless or a street person and, I gotta think, mentally ill. That this couple decided to take into their home. Neighbor said she's living in the garage. And I'd heard an early report she'd been living in their garden. And in fact, I believe that one of the articles still says there was a tent found out back. So this couple, absolutely naive people, decided to take this lady in. But the media, in subsequent stories, until you took off on social media, I did the research, tweeted something out. You guys jumped all over it. The media had to come back and go back and say again, okay, yes, it was a homeless person. On the text line, Will from Kent. Hi, Todd. What's even worse is that the city and Smack Daddy Dow are encouraging people to put shacks in backyards to house the homeless. Oh, that's from Matthew. Oh, sorry, Matthew. Matthew tweets that. Yeah, see, here's the thing that people are being led to believe, and we're going to talk in detail about this tomorrow. They're being taught to believe that the homeless people in the city, they're just good people who fell down on the rent. They all want work. They all want a second chance. They're all unhappy with being homeless. And this is a consistent parade of lies from people like Jelly Durka and Smack Daddy Dal Constantine and Heroin Dan Satterberg. And I think this couple in Bellevue probably bought that notion. They're certainly, no doubt, sweet people, huge hearts. God save them from this savage beating and a stabbing, and that the older woman had to go through surgery. But it's such a disservice to state this. Government malfeasance at this level, government negligence at this level, we need to be able to crack the code on getting to them personally. I've been saying this since we began the show. There's a number of things that could take this country back. One of them is the ability to sue public officials for blatant, clear, absolute dereliction of duty. Heroin is illegal. Okay? Smack Daddy Dal Constantine, he's just the King County executive. Heroin Dan Satterberg, he's supposed to be the prosecuting attorney.
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
We as citizens shouldn't have to go through a recall, just a recall. That shouldn't be our only recourse to get rid of a guy in a job like King County prosecuting attorney. When someone takes the oath of office, and they take the oath of office to uphold a job, if they refuse to do that, we should be able to remove them through a lawsuit. We should be able to go at them personally. Now, there's great theories behind why you can't do that, and they make all the sense in the world. When then we'd be suing everybody. President gets into office and he'd be sued. Well, oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Sideshow Bob's already doing that. The reason I bring this up is there's an important court case in California. It's the second. What's going on with the Ninth Circuit? You know what I think it is? It's the second time they've done something that makes absolute sense. I wonder if the Ninth Circuit is aware of the fact that they're going to have some cases that they need to throw the left's way coming their way. I think that they've probably realized there's going to be some cases where they're going to take it to the president, that they're going to invent law, that they're going to do what they've done forever, which is be a completely activist court. So they've chosen some real obvious ones to rule down the middle. First of all, they said that you can carry a gun. Yes, the Ninth Circuit. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court has ruled that in San Jose, California, people can sue the government. This is hard. I know it sounds weird that this is a win. They can proceed with a lawsuit over the San Jose violence. Now, you will remember this, okay? It was after the president had won. It was a Trump rally. And what apparently went on during this rally was that the powers that be, the San Jose officials, and I believe the police chief and the mayor, according to a lot of reports, they conspired to have the Trump supporters marched straight into a group of protesters, violent protesters, that they wanted them punished. They wanted them to have to pay a price for being there supporting the president in San Jose. We don't do that there. You remember the video of the woman being hit with an egg? And I mean, it was savage. It was. I know that someone was hit with an egg that was savage. She was surrounded by a mob. That was the least of it. Inside Edition followed through this day of just horrific attacks.
It happened in San Jose. As the crowd headed home, they were set upon. One young woman tried to take them on, proudly showing off her Trump shirt.
She's egging them on. She's egging them on.
Then it turned scary. She's hit in the face with watermelon and raw eggs.
Oh, my God.
She finds herself all alone and cornered. The crowd screaming obscenities. And no one came to her aid, not even the cops.
No, multiple calls to 911. No one came. That's the least of it. There was a gentleman who had his nose broken. His name is Harmit Dillon. Oh, he's an attorney. No, he's representing a group of people. Juan Hernandez had his nose broken. People have been calling 911 for help. They've been shuttled into it. They've been forced to walk through this riot area. This gentleman says it was really scary. Cops wouldn't do anything. They were just watching everything happen. They started coming to us and attacked us. We weren't inciting. We weren't saying anything to them. He had a broken nose, bruising. He had a concussion. He had scratches. Until this ruling from the Ninth Circuit, there was question as to whether or not they'd be able to sue to get justice. The fact is that when cases like this occur, when you have government malfeasance, it rises above any question mark. If it can be proven that the police chief, if it can be proven that the mayor and the city council of San Jose decided the best thing to do was to force the Trump supporters into this riot area where these people were violently attacking them. There's another video of a young guy. He's attacked five or six times, comes up with a bit with a bleeding lip, comes up with a loose tooth. There were four or five guys at one time trying to take him to the ground. If this can be proven that the police and the city council and the mayor decided to do this, how is this not an act of attempted murder? How is this not an act of not just inciting violence, but in fact contributing to it? How is this not aiding and abetting? Now, wind this back to Seattle. We know in this city that heroin Dan Satterberg is refusing to do his job. We know in this state, Sideshow Bob is refusing to do his job. We know in cities various, like Seattle, the police are no longer allowed to do their jobs. We know these things for blatant facts. We know in downtown Seattle, you can walk by a guy shooting up. The cops are told not to do anything. Someone defecating on a street corner. You've all seen the memes, haven't you? Of people pooping in the street corners in Seattle. They're nationwide jokes. Nothing happens. We've all seen the memes. The cops see them every day. Someone somewhere is refusing to do their job. If the Ninth Circuit will allow the people of in San Jose or people who were in San Jose forced to walk through a violent riot, if they can win, how is it that we could not win? What do we need? Injured parties? I know of a woman who suffered an attempted rape because the city refuses to do their job. I know of a woman who was raped because the city refused to do their job. I know of young women held captive in the jungle, held down and sex trafficked because the city refused to do its job. I know of a tourist nearly had their thumb bitten off because the city refuses to do their job. I know of people who run a Jewish cemetery and other cemeteries, particularly the Jewish cemetery we have at Ari Hoffman on, who's had $250,000 in damage done to his property or the property of the funeral, the synagogue. I could go on all day of people who've been damaged because this city, because this county is forcing them to walk through a daily riot of defecators and urinators and the mentally ill and the drug addled who themselves are also being put through sort of a form of torture. If you think about the mentally ill people, they can't help themselves. The street people are a different matter. The feral people who choose to live that lifestyle. If this case can go in front of the Ninth Circuit and be allowed to move forward out of the Ninth Circuit, the clown show that court is, how is it that a case similar based upon Heroin Dan and Jenny Durkin and their refusal to do their jobs, how could that not make it? We'll come back on the Todd Herbert Show on AM 770 KTTH. Get into just a few more things. A quick arrangement of news-like items. We used to say sliced and diced, but now we've been told that's an act of violence. We will no longer be dicing the items. We will slice them. We will put them on the whiteboard. They will be in audio feng shui, but from here on out, we will never dice them again, and we apologize to everyone concerned. Text lines open 800-465-8770. Dusty out of Everett. Sir, I slice and dice fruits and vegetables daily. Am I committing an act of violence? Yes, Dusty. Yes, you are. Think about that next time you dice. Now, just slice it. You don't need to dice. Dicing is a step too far. Let's roll into this.
Just a few more things.
All right. So we take news-like items. We slice them. We do not dice them. We do number them. And sometimes a theme emerges. This time is weird. I was going through just a few more things. I felt like that theme was there, but I didn't quite have one. Then I realized, sitting right in front of me.
Thing one.
The theme is memories. We played Conway Twitty earlier. How about Elvis?
Memories pressed between the pages of my mind.
So you remember when the guy stole the forklift a while back? Remember that? I think we did just a few more things on that. He was from...
Florida man flies gyrocopter on the Capitol lawn.
Yeah.
Florida man.
Yeah, so he's from Florida. I think you get the point. So guy's name, by the way, key to the story, is Bradley Barefoot. Police found Bradley Barefoot barefoot, meaning he had no shoes or socks on. Last name Barefoot. State of his feet, bare. He's talking to himself, swearing, throwing his hands up, sitting on a forklift. Second time he stole a forklift because he was tired of walking. He was Bradley Barefoot. It's all right here in the real news. Next up. Just a few more things.
Thing two.
All right. So you remember when this guy, Brett Stevens, remember when he used to, I guess at the Journal, and he pretended to be a conservative? Remember that back in the day?
One of the reasons I'm at the New York Times is I'm an ever-Trumper. I want to see Donald Trump. I do not want to see...
He came from the Journal, we should say. Yeah,
I do Wall not want to see Donald Trump reelected. I want to make America sane again.
All right. Did you hear the key phrase? The reason I'm at the Times is because I'm a never-Trumper. The reason I'm at the Times is they don't want to see Donald Trump reelected again. Well enough, that's his right. But the reason he's at the Times? Sorry, the entire Times is that way. The reason he's at the Times is because he'd been brought in as the conservative who refuses to recognize any good the president does. And there's been a lot of good. Next up, just a few more things.
Thing three.
So do you remember when this person used to pretend to be a conservative? Jennifer Rubin. She was the Washington Post's conservative blogger.
When Donald Trump came around and gave them permission to be angry about race, to be angry about immigrants, to be angry about elites, they said, yeah, that's what we're really angry about. This is a nativist, protectionist, big government, kind of wackadoodle party.
She is a nasty, tiny little liar, Jennifer Rubin. Number one, she's never met a Tea Party leader. Number two, protectionist. Jennifer, you're in love with D.C., period. End of statement. Number, B, fee, 3, 4, 5, 10,000. Jennifer, I know the Tea Party. It's never been about race. The anger is rules for some, not for others. Waivers for many, but only who the president chooses. It's economics. It's many things. It's not race. And you'd know that if you didn't hide away in your tiny bubble enclave of angry people upset to see D.C. in the hands of someone who may just change it. Next up, and just a few more things.
Thing four.
Remember when CNN used to do, you know, like the news and such? Now it's about soft drinks. Yeah, CNN has discovered over the weekend the president politely asked Michael Cohen for a Coke.
Have you heard the juiciest part of the Trump-Cohen tape?
They don't have a...
Give me a Coke, please.
They don't have a legitimate purpose.
Incontrovertible evidence of a thirsty president.
That's hard-hitting. And you can't deny it. The man, it's right there on tape. He wanted to drink a bubbly beverage. This is CNN. Last up, and just a few more things.
Thing five.
You ever heard of the non-denial denial?
A non-denial denial is a statement that seems clear and concise, but it really is a bit ambiguous and doesn't answer the question.
Right. So Jack Dorsey, the founder and CEO of Twitter, over the weekend, responding to the fact that they've been caught shadow banning by Vice News, a liberal news organization, who showed proof that they're hiding the tweets of conservatives and conservative lawmakers. In fact, next hour, I'm going to tell you, one of those lawmakers is filing an FEC complaint, Federal Elections Commission complaint, against Twitter. Jack Dorsey said, people are asking us if we shadow ban. No, we do not. Let's start with what is shadow banning? And he gives sort of a weak example of what shadow banning is. The best definition we found is deliberately making someone's content undiscoverable. So Jack Dorsey continues. We do not shadow ban. You're always able to see the tweets from accounts you follow, although you may have to do a lot more work, like go directly to their profile. By the way, if anybody doesn't tweet, no one goes directly to their profile. This is like, oh, you can still talk to your friend. You just have to walk to their house in Alaska. More Todd Herman Show next.